If we hold on to traditions more than holding on to the Word of God becomes meaningless. It is not because the preachers who preach it are not powerful. It is because your life is always around traditions and not around this truth.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, our traditions. Our traditions. Say that with me. As we read the book of Acts and as we study from the book of Acts, we are encouraged to walk with the Holy Spirit. There are very powerful divine things that we do believe that if we walk with the Holy Spirit, the church of today will make inroads. Amen. But one of the things that destroy the walk with the Spirit is tradition. It is the one thing that destroys a church. It is the one thing that destroys our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this morning you will find out that traditions, if you hold on to it, is so powerful it can destroy the Word of God. It has the ability to destroy the Word of God. Yesterday, I was just speaking. It was a very eventful day with so many things. But at the tail end of it, I have a friend who shared with me that the doctors gave a final word to the wife. And it looks like he's buying into it. And I told him, my brother, I was given 2 weeks to live too, and I'm here. Somebody must make a decision they will believe this. Amen. Let's just stop talking about it. Believe it. Amen. Amen. So I stirred up his faith, and I told him that apart from my church praying for me, for 6 months continuously, I fasted every day. Because it was something that killed pretty much most of the people in my family. And I said, somebody must pay the price. And I do believe that by now you would have buried me. And I would be out somewhere in the memory. But I'm still here, still in your face. Because I chose to believe this word. Amen. Our traditions. Can you personalize it and say, my traditions? It hurts me to sometimes hear Christians say things like, it's my tradition. Please don't get me wrong. To put it in its proper perspective, traditions are good. But when it starts messing around with your walk with the Holy Spirit, something is wrong. Amen. And today we want to go through God's word together and begin to understand it. So let's begin with a definition. I know you all know what tradition is, but just so we are on the same page, let me try and define it. That a tradition is something that worked in the past. In the past, the thing was good. It worked so well. And that thing has been passed down from one generation to another generation. But do you realize that we live in an age where the cultural norms are being challenged? Do you all agree? And sometimes all we can say is that it is the traditions of the elders, even when it is killing. I had a debate with a pastor one time I think when my senses were not working, because these days I don't debate. It's useless. And he says, as for me, we need to hold on to this. And I told him that if the culture of a country is about demons and idols, and you call that culture, I think you are messed up. I will not hold on to that culture. I'll hold on to Jehovah. This morning, I do not intend to attack tradition, but I intend to open your eyes to see how it destroys. And it keeps destroying your own miracle, but you're holding on to them. A tradition, whenever it started, it did something powerful. It was good. But there comes a time you must throw it away. Everybody turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to just go through God's word together. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, it's Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees came to ask Jesus a very important question. They saw that the disciples of Jesus, when they were going to eat, did not wash their hands. Bible says the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them, they had come to surround Jesus, and then they saw that the disciples of Jesus were eating. They didn't wash their hands. The tradition at the time was to wash your hands in a ceremonial manner. It was a tradition. And after that, you eat. Common sense tells you that washing your hands before you eat is a good thing, is it not? Yet Jesus attacked it. One of the things I have learned to do is that, you know, most people are very good at what Paul said, what this person said. I spend most of my time in the Gospels. What Jesus said matters more. He came from above. So they asked Jesus, Jesus, how in the world would your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? Jesus replies with the words of the prophet Isaiah. He says, "This people draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." What is Jesus doing? Jesus is simply indicating that you are so much worked up in the washing of hands that God is literally sitting in front of you and you cannot see it. I think it was this morning on the prayer line, one of the brothers who was leading a prayer said that it was Jacob who once said that God was in this place and I did not what? No. It is possible to be coming to this house for years and we'll never know that God is here. Meanwhile, God is here. What is blinding you is tradition. That if we go to church, we sing a bunch of songs, then we stand straight and we wait for the MC. So the day I jump in and we just drop the order, what is he doing? You miss out on what God is doing because of. Talk to me. Because of what? Tradition in themselves are not bad. But whenever it messes around with the things of the Spirit, something is awfully what? Wrong. So Jesus tells this Pharisees, he says, you guys, you draw near with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. In the book of Mark chapter 7, Jesus continues, he says, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, Jesus is still speaking, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own tradition. And Jesus gives an illustration, which I talked about 2 weeks ago, that a parent can come to their child and say, hey, I need some financial help. And the child says, the only money I have been set aside for the church. And because of that, I cannot give it to you. You all remember that lesson? That Jesus said, you better give the money first of all to your parent. Later on, you can give to the church. But they would use that, traditions of men, Because that's not what God said. It is what the people had actually put in place. And today, all across, there are churches, people are simply following traditions. And if you meet men like me who would not follow one, we look odd. But I choose to be odd. Because it is the only way you encounter the power of God in its right way. So then Jesus concludes his discussion with the Pharisees with the words we are about to read in Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. Please read with me from the screen if you can. Shall we? Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. You nullify the word of God. God Almighty, the limitless God, you can nullify his word. Now, I like it in the King James. He says that you have made the word of God of none effect. In other words, it produces so little. The word has so much power, but it cannot produce enough. It cannot do what it's supposed to do because of your traditions. So Jesus is saying traditions can become more powerful than the word. Not that it is, but it can become. If we hold on to traditions more than holding on to the word of God, the word of God becomes meaningless. It is not because the preachers who preach it are not powerful. It is because your life is always around traditions and not around this truth. I've always told you my assignment is always to confront error. So when I preach, that's what you hear. You will not hear the Lord will bless you. You nullify the word of God. The word of God. Now, let me walk you through a few scriptures and see what the word of God would do. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Turn with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and then the attitudes of the heart. The very comparisons that are made here, the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, these things, if you separate them, you destroy life. But he says God's word can do it and still maintain life. It tells you that this word is not ordinary. People who have attacked it are all dead and gone. And be careful what you are saying today about this word, because soon you will be gone, but this word will still be living. Why? Because it is not just mere letters. Jesus says the words that I speak to you, they are spirit life. In other words, it produces life on the inside. The only way it does is because you choose to put tradition down and you pick up the what? The word of God. Are you understanding me? As long as you hold high the banner of tradition, this word will mean nothing to you. Are you understanding me? Yes, sir. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are looking at what this word can do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a very popular verse. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, you and me, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So whenever you say, I cannot do good works, no. The word of God has the ability to empower you to do it. I want you to see how powerful this word is. Jeremiah chapter 23. I wanted to walk you through God's word. I know you know, but I'm just trying to remind you that this word is not ordinary. Jeremiah 23, look at the 29th verse. Jeremiah 23 and the 29th verse. Are you there? Open your Bibles. You see, today people don't have respect for this word. So we have chosen that our phones is the word. It's not condemnation, it's a reminder. Carry your Bibles. I don't know about you, but anytime I use my phone as my Bible, I have all kinds of notifications. Read with me, shall we? Go. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like what? Hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. He says the word of God is like fire. What does fire do? Fire burns and fire purifies. When you put gold in fire, it purifies it. When you put wood in fire, it burns it. In other words, God's word can do both in our lives. It will purify us, makes us holy, and at the same time reveal to us our wrongs. The second part says that the word of the Lord is like hammer. It's like what? Come on, say that with me. It is like. Today, when we want to break rocks, what do we use? We don't use hammer. We use dynamite. We use very powerful things to split rocks. But in Jeremiah's day, their dynamite was the hammer. And he's making an illustration here that the word of God has so much dynamic power to deal with every rock, every mountain that stands in the way. Didn't the scripture says, if you have faith enough, you will be able to move what? Mountains. Faith in what? In what God has already spoken. The word of God is what? Powerful. It breaks anything. And this morning I want to just remind someone, if you are sitting here under the sound of my voice, maybe you are under on any medium listening to me, and you are asking yourself, how am I going to deal with this issue that confronts me? Hear the word of the Lord. Is not my word like hammer that breaks things? Is not my word like what? Hammer. And sometimes you need to look at certain situations and speak the word of God to it. Amen. Speak what to it? See, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms 107. He says, the angels only give heed to the voice of his word. In other words, when you speak what you like, they will not move. But as soon as you speak this, angels will move. I said, angels will what? Sometimes people are speaking what the other pastor said. Speak what the Bible says. Speak this raw word, and angels will go to work on your behalf. Amen. There is power in the word of God. Everybody say there is power. Jeremiah 15, for the sake of time, write it down. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, the Bible says, the word of God is like food. When we eat it, it gives us strength. The prophet said, was not your word like honey? It tasted so good when I took it in. When you don't have strength, don't go read a bunch of issues, some article from some kind of psychologist. It gives you only relief for a season. But the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, these are descriptions of the word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the foolish or the wise the simple. The Bible says, there in it your servant is one, and in it we find life forevermore. This word is a true word. Got to make up your mind, child of God, that you will live by nothing else, no other word except the word of the living God Almighty. This word is true. And I pray that the generations of today will understand that the traditions on social media is not what helps you. This word helps you. Amen. People wake up in the morning, pick up their phone, look at so many things, and they've never opened this. What is going on? Which are? Psalms 119, look at verse 105. He says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. We live in a generation full of darkness, but it is only the word of God that guides you. When blue has become white and white has become blue, exits has become entries and entries have become exits. When people are saying that right is good and good is bad, the only thing that sets the truth to you is the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at the second verse. God is saying that his word is like dew. Throughout the scriptures, dew, he said, let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on a new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. Notice the picture that he's painting here. You will notice that in the text, he's talking about teaching. He's talking about the word of God. He says, let it descend like dew. Let it come down like rain. Notice that dew is water, rain is water, but one is a different form of the other. And he said, this word has the ability to affect issues and escalate it until it completes whatever it is meant to do. In other words, when you need a dew, God will make this word a dew. But when it has to be pouring, God will still make this word to be the same thing. I can go on and show you that God's word is so, so powerful. Anybody who is in doubt that this word is powerful? I know none of us is in doubt. But why is this word not working in your life? Jesus tells us. Why? Let's go back to Mark chapter 7. Why is this word not working? Come on, talk to me. Don't be afraid. I'm sure you'll be saying the truth. Why is this word not working? My tradition. And let's add some S to it. My traditions. And please don't look at it only in terms of cultural traditions. Sometimes it is mental conditioning. That we have been conditioned a certain way. Nothing happens in your life until this changes. Sometimes it hurts my spirit to hear Christians say things like, how are you behaving like you are white, you are black? And I'm just standing there and I'm saying, when you use your brains, there's no color to it. Just use your brains. Jesus said, your traditions can nullify. I made a research to understand the word nullify, that the King James stretches of none effect. And it simply means this, it will produce very little or nothing. This word, the word God spoke and everything started coming into being, that word will produce what? Little or nothing. Why? Because, yeah, you're getting it. Some of us have traditions in marriages. Is it okay if I come into your bedroom? You know clearly. Can you save me some heart attack? Because sometimes when I sit in the middle of some marriage issues, I'm asking myself, am I dealing with a bunch of children or what? Because some issues will always crop up if two people live together. So it should never even end up in front of me. And you are bringing the minds of Christians there, and they are reminding me of tradition. You are making the word of God of none effect. Sometimes you can see husbands and wives, and then you realize that the woman is very good at managing money, but the man has this tradition that he's the guy and he must be in control. Then later on you go and pray, Lord, change my wife. You need to be very careful because the word of God will not make your wife submissive because you have already nullified by the tradition you followed. Amen. Are you here with me? Let me show you a picture in the Bible. I'm just being careful, so there are some things I don't say. A Christian shows up in church. Now I'm coming to you. And then they want God to use them, but they will sit on the fence and only talk. How do you expect God to use you? If you misuse somebody's business, how do you expect God to give you your own business? Let me talk to you. Because we have a tradition of talking about pastors, so we just want to do it. Stop the tradition. Most of you married men, tell me by now. What is it that has made you keep a marriage? Is it because of your wife's coolership? What has made you keep her?
Because the Bible says she's my helper.
She's your helper. Not your stooge, but your helper. What I'm trying to show to you is that God has given us his word that can change our lives totally. But we have chosen to hold on to so many traditions. So many of them. And it's destroying the one thing God has given that can change our lives entirely. And you hear people say, our black people curse. No, we are not curse. We are refusing to use our 3.5-pound brain. People will go to church and pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I receive wealth now. I receive wealth now. Because it's a tradition. It was handed over to us. And we are doing it. But child, let me tell you, you can pray for money. Money ain't coming until you go work. And then you make money. We give in obedience to the word of God because there's a level of blessing God gives us that cannot be equated with money. One of them is strength to be able to get up every morning and go make the money. But you cannot say, God, money coming. From where? So you realize that the church is full of poor people. Because we have taught them traditions, not the word. Because we believe if we pray and we turn our head at a certain angle, I don't know what the degrees are, and do. Now, you did it. It helped you to keep yourself in prayer. Don't make a tradition out of it. Judges chapter 15. I'll close soon. As I grow older, I think I get wiser. You would talk to people, tell them, don't go about your marriage this way. They think they are smarter. But these people, they are delicate though. You know that by now. Very delicate. If you handle them well, life will be nice. If you mishandle them, life will also be nice. Are you in the book of Judges? Okay, let's read. And this is about Samson. And he did something that you have to do with a tradition. Remember we said a tradition is something that was good at one point in time. But over time, if you're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep holding on to what? Traditions. Let's look at what this dude did. This is Samson. As he, that is Samson, approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. Please notice, what came upon him? What came upon him? So what Samson is about to do is a work of the Holy Spirit. But for that to remain, he had to deal with a tradition. Next verse. And the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh. Everybody say fresh. Did he use the old jawbone? You see, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, he shows you new things. It is amazing how today a prophet will receive a direction, gives it to an individual, and then they make it a monument. Because God gave him a direction to use salt, he tells everybody, use salt. And Christians are following it. And then they say they are walking with the Holy Spirit. How? So God wants to give you a word that will change your financial situation, but you are so hooked on to this tradition of salt.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.